Well, we live in a society in which total autonomy and freedom from constraints is believed to be the source of our true happiness. Many believe that they should rebel against anything that constrains or restricts them, or against someone who dictates to them what is right and wrong, because those things, in their opinion, are enemies to their freedom and therefore to their joy. True happiness, they believe, is found in freedom from constraints or from any restrictions to their total autonomy. Well, consider this. Whether a fish is in a fishbowl or in a 10-gallon tank or in the vast ocean, the fish is constrained by the water. The fish is bound and restricted but to the water. Now let's say someone comes along and says, well, true joy and happiness is found in not being constrained by anything. And so in order for this fish to be truly free and happy, it must be taken out of the water. So the person takes the fish out of the water, and what happens? Well, it starts flopping about. It starts thrashing around. It starts losing its color. The fish is dying. And the only logical conclusion is that true freedom and joy for the fish is being constrained to the water. As soon as you place the fish back into the water, color and life is restored to it. And in the same way, we find true freedom and joy and delight and life when we are constrained by God's word. And so this morning, I want to focus on the role of the Bible in the life of the believer. And to that end, I'll be asking and answering the following questions. Number one, why is it important to read the Bible regularly and consistently? Question two, what are some of the benefits from regular, consistent Bible reading? And number three, practically speaking, how do we read the Bible? Okay, so why is it important? What are some of the benefits? And how do we read it? All right, I'll be answering those questions this morning. And my goal and prayer is that this would spur you on to commit to reading the Bible in 2025 and indeed for the rest of your life regularly and consistently. I pray that you resolve. New Year's resolutions are coming up. I pray that you resolve this year to regularly and consistently read your Bible. And so, with that clear intention in mind, let's begin with the first question, which is, once again, why is it important to read your Bible regularly and consistently? I think the most compelling reason is because it's God's very word. The very words of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, are the words of the Lord God Almighty. Let that sink in, because we are prone to take the Bible for granted and forget what it truly is. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, all scripture, not some scripture, not most scripture, not a little bit of scripture, all scripture is breathed out by God. Breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Or 2 Peter 1, 21, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This means, church, that everything that we read in the Bible is God's word written and spoken by the biblical authors. These authors, yes, they had their own personality, they had their own flair in how they wrote, but all of them were sovereignly guided along by God the Spirit to write exactly what God intended to be written. The Bible is not a collection of moral commands and teachings. It is the words of the Lord God Almighty recorded for us. Now, this is massively important. I'm saying that the Creator God of the universe, who created all things out of nothing, and who sustains all things by His Word, this God speaks to us. The infinitely wise, all-powerful, totally sovereign God is not silent. He speaks to us, and He does so through His Word, through the Bible. For genuine believers, this is one of the core tenets of our faith. It is foundational to knowing and understanding anything about God. I would maybe go as far to say that if you don't believe that the Bible is the very words of God, that I don't know if you can be a true believer. And so if the God of the universe speaks, we better listen. If He sovereignly guided Scripture to be written in such a way that contains His very words for us, then we better read it. Now, a recent study, this is fascinating, was conducted by the Center of Bible Engagement. In that study, they surveyed over 40,000 Americans, ranging from 8 to 80 years old. The group of participants included both believers and unbelievers. Here is the eye-opening discovery that the data revealed. If someone reads the Bible just one time a week, and that includes coming to church on Sundays and hearing the word read, there is little to no effect on key areas of that person's life. If someone reads the Bible twice a week, same thing, little to no effect, negligible effect on the person's life. If the person reads the Bible three times a week, the research shows that there's a little blip, that there is some impact, but nothing major or significant. But here's where the findings went crazy. If someone reads the Bible four or more times a week, then the data shows a significant, dramatic effect on the person's life, on key areas of the person's life. Now, you might expect that the effect of the Bible that it has on someone's life is linear. That is, that it would increase steadily the more times you read it. But that's not what the data shows. The data shows that for 0, 1, 2, 3 times, no effect. But then 4 times, boom, skyrockets in terms of how it impacts and affects your life. And here are some of the behaviors and key areas of your life that are significantly impacted. You ready for this? Feeling lonely drops 30% just from reading the Bible 4 times versus 0 through 3 times. Feeling lonely drops 30%. Anger issues drops 32%. Bitterness in relationships, that is, relationships with your spouse, with your siblings, with your kids, with your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends, relationships, bitterness in relationships drops 40%. Alcoholism drops 57%. Sex outside of marriage drops 68%. Feeling spiritually stagnant drops 60%. How many people have come up to me saying, Pastor, I just don't know. I'm just not really connecting with the Lord. I'm not really growing in my faith. Perhaps you need to read the Bible more. Viewing pornography drops 61%. Here are some positive behaviors. Sharing your faith jumps 232%. Discipling others jumps 230%. Memorizing Bible verses jumps 407%. all just from reading the Bible 4 or more days a week. Little to no effect if you read the Bible 0 to 3 days. Soon as you cross that threshold and read the Bible the majority of the week, huge impacts on your life. All of this just from reading God's Word 4 or more days a week. Now, why do you think we see these results? Practically speaking, when you commit to reading the Bible at least 4 days a week, you are indicating that the Bible has a high priority in your life. In the midst of your busy schedule, you are choosing to read the Bible regularly and consistently. And if you are prioritizing it, then it must be important to you. You don't consistently prioritize something that you think is worthless or unimportant. You may prioritize something that you not think is worth your time for a short period of time, but if it does not become important to you, you're going to stop. That action is going to eventually fade off and eventually die out. How many people have done that with flossing, right? I'm going to floss, and you floss for a week, and you're so excited about it, and then you forget one day, and you realize that your teeth don't fall out, and so you stop flossing. It's not important to you. But when something is important to you, you fight to make sure that you do it. And so if the Bible is important to you and you're committing to reading it 4 days a week or more, then you are going to rearrange your schedule. You're not going to watch TV. You're not going to do that. You're instead going to read your Bible. But only if it becomes important to you and you prioritize it. When we prioritize reading the Bible 4 days a week or more, you are forming a habit that reveals that you want to know God more and you want to know His Word. You want to follow Him. You want to follow His will and His ways. And if you have this sort of habit, this sort of heart posture, and you fight to prioritize reading the Bible 4 days a week or more, then is it any surprise that you would see the effects that we just talked about? Is it any surprise that the Bible would impact you in these ways, that you would have a drop in bitterness and anger and feeling spiritually stagnant, and that you would memorize the Word more? Is there any surprise? It ought not to be. The Word is God's Word that transforms us. I'm getting ahead of my sermon already. But the point is that when we read the Bible more, we show that it is a priority to us. We show that our heart attitude is that we want to submit to God's Word. And when we have that importance and that priority, that heart posture, then God's Word will affect those key areas, those key behaviors in our life. And frankly, reading the Bible 3 days a week or less is perhaps showing the Bible's not so important. It's like flossing to you. When we regularly and consistently read the Bible, we encounter God, and that naturally impacts us. How can it not? We'll get into some of those impacts in the next point. And so now I want to consider just what I've said so far. Given the research that shows that regular and consistent Bible reading significantly affects and impacts your life, and as important as that research is, more significantly and significantly more important than that, consider that the Bible contains the very words of God speaking to you. Given these two things, how can you treat the Bible lightly or flippantly? How can you not make time for it? How can you ever make it a low priority in your life? Because it's hard to understand? Is that really a good excuse? And spoiler alert, you're not going to understand the Bible unless you keep reading the Bible. Do you not prioritize regular and consistent Bible reading because you're too busy? Is that really a good excuse? Do you think that if you told that excuse to God, that he would agree with you and that he would find it acceptable? Genuine believers know that it is crucially important to regularly and consistently read the Bible, and so they fight to prioritize the habit of engaging with God's Word on a daily basis. Now that we've established the critical nature of reading the Bible regularly and consistently, let me mention some of the impacts and blessings that reading the Bible in such a fashion has on your life when we make this commitment. There are many blessings that we get from regularly and consistently reading the Bible, but for the sake of time, I will restrain myself from mentioning just five of them this morning. Number one, the Bible is how we come to know God. This is a no-brainer, but it must be said. It is through reading the Bible that we know what God is like, that is his characteristics, his attributes, that we know what God is doing in history, that we know God's will and purposes, that we know God's plan for salvation through his son Jesus, that we know what is pleasing and acceptable to God and what displeases God. It's true that the creation to some extent reveals who God is. We read in the call to worship in Psalm 19:1 that the heavens declare the glory of God and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Or we can read in Romans 1:19 and 20, for what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. In other words, brothers and sisters, creation points to and reveals that there is a creator, but that is not sufficient. A beautiful sunrise may point to the beauty of the creator, but it does not sufficiently unveil his holiness and perfect majesty. A Category 5 hurricane may point to the power of God, but it does not specifically reveal his wrath and hatred against sin. A much-needed rainstorm may point to the provision of God, provision of the Creator, but it does not reveal how he provided his Son to be the sacrifice to save us from our sins. How things like gravity and electromagnetic waves and how the brain functions and processes things and how babies are formed in the womb, these all point to an intelligent designer, but it does not reveal God's intricate, sovereign work to accomplish his purpose to glorify his own name. We know about God generally through creation, but we need the Bible to know God more specifically in a saving manner. Number two, the Bible sustains and encourages us. Knowing who God is and the promises he has made to his people, which are both revealed in the Bible, are the primary means of how God sustains and encourages genuine disciples of Christ. If you don't know God or his promises as revealed in his word, then you are forced to deal with your problems, your troubles, and your trials all on your own efforts. But when you read the Bible, and when you grow in the knowledge of him and his promises for you, then you are sustained, you are encouraged, you are nourished through any life circumstances that may come your way. For instance, when you are battling depression or despair, you find encouragement in Psalm 40, verse 11, "Why you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." When finances are tight and you don't know how you're going to pay your bills, you can remember when Jesus said, "If God provides for the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, how much more will he provide for you?" Or Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, the promise of this, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." When you are anxious about a particular decision you have to make, you are encouraged by Psalm 32:8, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." When you are suffering anxiety over some sickness or disease, God sustains you with Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. As the problems of old age pile up, you find tremendous comfort in the promise of Isaiah 46:4. "Even to your old age I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry and save." When you are afraid or concerned about the state of our culture or our country, God sustains you with the truth about who he is. He is the sovereign God. He is in control of this situation and every situation, and he is sovereignly weaving it together according to his good purposes. We find great encouragement in knowing that he is the God of all of our tomorrows, and nothing happens outside of his sovereign will. You simply will not be sustained or encouraged through these situations or the billions of other situations if you don't know God and his promises. In order to be sustained and encouraged by God and his promises, you must read God's word and know your Bible. Number three, the Bible convicts us of sin. Genuine believers want to live in such a way that pleases God. They want to avoid sin and instead walk in holiness. The only way to know what is sinful and therefore what is not pleasing to God is by reading your Bible. And when we read the Bible with humble, attentive hearts, the Holy Spirit convicts us of the ways that we've been living sinfully. But not only that, God, the Holy Spirit, enables us to walk in obedience to God's word and his ways, as we see in Ezekiel 36:27. God uses his word to convict us and correct us of our sinful ways. Therefore, if you want to live in a manner that is pleasing to God and not live sinfully, then we must regularly and consistently read the Bible. Number four, I'm going to cut this one short. The Bible sanctifies us. Remember what Jesus says in his high priestly prayer in John 17:17. He says, sanctify them, speaking to the Father. He says, sanctify them, make them holy, set them apart, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Or as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for correction, for rebuke, for training in righteousness. Both of these passages show that scripture is the means that God uses to sanctify us. And so read your Bible regularly if you want to grow in holiness and grow in your walking in ways that honor and glorify God. Number five, this is the fifth way that I suggest as a benefit to reading God's word regularly. The Bible leads us to find joy in God. And may I add, true, lasting joy in God. Psalm 1 tells us that the godly person does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And on his word he meditates day and night. Day and night. The more that you read and meditate on the scriptures, the more that you know God and what he has done. And this most naturally leads to delighting and rejoicing in God. When you read over and over again of his steadfast love that will never depart from you, or his grace that he lavishes upon you, or of his promises of provision, or any of his promises for that matter, or of his sovereignty over all things, or of the good news of salvation through Christ, then you most certainly will respond with joy in the Lord. How can you not find joy in the God whom you are reading about? The more you read the Bible, the more you know God. The more you know God, the more you love Him. And the more you love Him, the more joy and happiness you find in Him. The things of this world will go strangely dim. The things of this world will lose their luster. They will not be as appealing to you. The more that you read God's Word, the more that you will want and desire and love and find your joy and satisfaction in Him. And so we have seen why reading the Bible is important and what impacts and blessings it has in our life. I just gave five. There are more. Now let me briefly give some practical tips on how to read your Bible consistently and regularly. I've limited myself to four practical suggestions, so I don't know if you're following. This is either a three-point sermon with 17 things nested in, or it's a 27-point sermon, whatever you want it. But here are four practical suggestions on how to read your Bible. Number one, commit to disciplined daily reading. What I mean by saying this is that you schedule a time every day to read the Bible. It's already built in to your schedule so that you don't even have to think about when you will have time to read the Bible. Make reading the Bible part of your regular daily routine, not just something that you fit in haphazardly in the day. I personally suggest establishing that rhythm of Bible reading in the morning before you get to work or start about your day. I'm a morning person, and so maybe this is a little bit easier for me, but I do think that there are great benefits to starting your day off with God's Word. It's like breakfast for your soul. It starts your day with God and fuels you to live for His glory as you go about His day. It does say in Psalm 90, verse 14, "Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." There is a sense that in the morning I will delight in your word, and it will be what sustains me throughout the day. Now, that being said, there is nothing wrong or unbiblical about doing your Bible reading during your lunch break or before dinner time or sometime in the evening. Those are all fine things to do. If the options are that you either read consistently every evening or rarely every morning, I will encourage you to read consistently every evening. But if you want my advice, and if you're able to consistently do it, I would suggest scheduling your daily Bible reading time to be in the morning. Now, I stress the importance of establishing a set time every day for when to read the Bible, because if you just wing it and wait for a good time to read the Bible, then you know what happens. You don't do it. You forget about it. Or if you do remember it, you spend 10 rushed minutes in the Word before rushing off to do something else. Or you're too tired or you're too busy. If you just wing it and assume that you'll have time to be in the Word, then you most likely will not regularly and consistently read your Bible. But if you set a time, specific time each day, that you will block out as time for reading God's Word, then you are making the Bible a priority in your life. And so therefore, commit to disciplined daily Bible reading by scheduling it into your daily routine. Second practical suggestion, set up accountability with a friend. To help you with regular, consistent Bible reading, I suggest that you ask one of your friends or one of the members of our church to hold you accountable. That is, once a week, your friend would call you or text you and ask you how you've been reading your Bible and what you've been learning about God from your time in His Word. They can ask the very practical question of, have you been consistently and regularly reading your Bible? And if this person who holds you accountable goes to our church, then set that time that they ask you that question to be after church on Sunday. You're both already here. You don't have to schedule something else. Just today, after church, you talk to that person in the fellowship hall. This is what I've been reading, and this is how I've been doing in my Bible reading plan. I think that is an excellent way to build that in without having to schedule something else. Now, maybe knowing that a friend is going to ask you these questions is just that extra bit of motivation that you need to be disciplined to read your Bible. And if that's the case, then do it. There's absolutely no harm or shame in setting up accountability to spur you on to godliness. In fact, the Bible commands us to encourage one another in such a fashion. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as you are doing. Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, before you dismiss this suggestion as something extra or unnecessary, or something that would be too much of a burden to the person who holds you accountable, consider once again the great benefits of what consistent, regular Bible reading can have on your life. As we've seen in the previous 2 points, see the key areas of your life that are impacted by reading the Bible 4 days a week. See all the benefits of knowing God more, finding your joy in Him, being convicted of sin. See those benefits. Are those benefits worth it to take this extra step in order to regularly read the Bible? I would say yes. Yes, absolutely, 100 times. And so set up accountability with a friend to help you faithfully read God's Word. Number 3, pick a particular Bible reading plan. I believe that if your goal is to regularly and consistently read your Bible, then it's best to have some sort of reading plan. It could be a read the Bible in a year plan, like the Navigator's Bible reading plan that I pitched earlier this morning. It could be a chronological Bible reading plan, or it could be reading through the New Testament in 4 months, or it could be reading through Paul's letters, or it could be reading through the prophets, or whatever. The point is, just have some sort of plan of what you'll be reading through. Don't just open the Bible to a random chapter and read it. That may be fine to do every once in a while, but not as your habitual practice. Have some sort of plan. Because if you don't have a plan, what will likely happen is that you'll sit down with your Bible and you'll say, "Well, what should I read?" I don't know why he's boo-boo from... But anyway, and then proceed to waste the next 10 to 15 minutes of your life thumbing through the Bible, trying to figure out what you're going to read. In order to maximize your time in the Word and get the most out of it, pick a particular reading plan. Number 4, my last suggestion, read, think, and write. Read, think, and write. When you sit down to read your Bible, I want to encourage you to do these 3 actions. Read, think, and write. We are prone to just read through a passage and then quickly move on before really examining it and considering what it has to say. In order to combat our hurried, rushed reading of God's Word, I encourage us all, myself included, to read, think, and write. And here's what I mean by it. Read the passage. Read it again. Slowly. Then think about the passage. What is the passage mainly talking about? Do you see any patterns or repeated words or phrases? Who's the intended audience? Ask questions of and about the passage and think about them. Then read the passage again. Then think about the passage some more. Did something else come up as you read it again? Something else stand out to you? Then write down your thoughts on the passage. What does it mean? What is it revealing about God? Is there something about the passage? Is there something in the passage? Is the passage calling you to do something? Is there some action that you need to take? Is the passage convicting you in some way? Do you need to repent of something? Now, in addition to your thoughts on the passage, write down your questions that you have about it. What does this mean? I don't get this. How does this fit with this part of Scripture? Write down all your questions that you have about the text. Then read, think, and write some more. And then finally, pray. Spend time in prayer about the passage. Gathering all your thoughts that you've had on it, all your observations that you made, all the times that you've read through it. You've read through it 4 or 5 times at this point. Pray. Pray the passage back to God. Pray about the passage to God. Pray and ask for wisdom about how to understand the passage. And then later and lastly, you can consult a study Bible or a commentary or one of the elders or one of your friends or with someone at church during the time of fellowship to answer any of those questions that you have on the passage. I would love, absolutely love, if the fellowship hall was filled with discussion of what we read about in the Word this week, what questions we had about the passage, if that was a conversation that filled the fellowship hall, as opposed to, did you see this show last night? Did you hear what happened in the news? Did you hear what's going on here? I would much rather the fellowship hall be filled with discussion of God's Word. And you know how that's going to happen? If you guys do it. I can't force you to do it, and I can't be in every conversation, but you guys can initiate the conversation about what you're reading in God's Word. I want to encourage you to do that. I forgot to mention, we have an extensive library that has commentaries on many of the books of the Bible. Check one out if you're having difficulty understanding Zechariah, as I do, and help use the commentary to your benefit. Read, think, and write. I suggest that this is a very helpful process in order to not just read the Bible, but to understand it and to be edified from it. Now, I have thought this so important that I have designed and created a little Bible reading journal for everyone. Okay? It's a little booklet that takes you through this process and has included prompts for you to write things down in response. And so, it's a little booklet that has, you know, the scripture that you're reading. It has your initial thoughts, some patterns that you see, the main idea, observations that you have, actions that you need to take, convictions that you have, questions that you have, and you can write prayer, okay? So this is a little booklet that you can use as you read the Bible. Right? And this will help you to read, think, and write. Okay? This will help you as you read the Bible to read, think, and write to so that you know and understand and grow in God's Word. I made these little booklets. I think there's enough for like 30 or 31 entries. So you can, 30 different passages of Scripture, you can use it. If you love this and you fill it up, talk to me. I'll print out more. Okay, not a problem for me. It'd be my joy. Now, the only snafu is that I designed it, I printed it, I didn't have time to necessarily fold it. So, it's ready for you-ish. And so if you want a copy, come find me after service, and I'll make one for you before you leave, okay? I have them already printed, I just need to fold them and staple them. And so, I want everyone to take one of these home. I truly do. And I want you to use this in order to help you to read God's word, to read, think, and write. Be sure to grab one of these, hopefully after service. If not, I'll have them all done next week. Okay, now, I know that it might not be practical to do that sort of exercise of read, think, write every single day. You could, and I think you'd be really blessed by it and really find great benefit from doing it. But if you even do it once or twice a week, there's still greater benefit than doing it never at all, okay? And so this process of read, think, and write, if your time allows for you to do it every day, do that. But if not, try to do it once or twice a week, a few times a week, and I think you'll really be blessed by it. And so, and let me tell you, the more that you do this, the more that you write this down and actually practice this, the more that you'll do it just naturally as you're reading the Bible, so that you don't have to have one of these booklets with you. You can just read the Bible and think about it and think about these questions and continue to go to it. It'll just become a more natural process to you. So pick up one of these booklets and read, think, and write. As you regularly, consistently read your Bible, read, think, and write. Okay, I move quickly now to my conclusion. I'm well over my time, but church, I cannot stress enough the importance of regularly, consistently reading God's word. If you want to know God, if you want to be wise, if you want guidance on how to live and make decisions, if you want to worship Him, if you want to be encouraged and sustained in the midst of your circumstances, if you want to live in a manner that is pleasing to Him, if you want lasting joy and happiness, if you want to grow in maturity, if you want to have a better witness for God, if you want to improve your prayer life, then read God's word regularly and consistently. It does take time, energy, and effort, but because it is the word of God recorded for us, it is worth making it your top priority. And I promise you, as you look back at your year, or even more so your life, I promise you, you will never say, "I wish I spent less time in God's word. I wish I had some of those hours back so that I can spend it on YouTube or doing my hobbies." No one will ever say that. Don't make any more excuses. Don't put it off any longer. Don't put the Bible as a low priority on your list. Rather, commit to regularly and consistently reading your Bible. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Well, gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for in it, it reveals to us who you truly are, and it truly transforms us and impacts us when you, by your Holy Spirit, come and dwell in our hearts and open our eyes and soften our hearts so that we would receive the word and grow from it. We trust, Lord God, that your word does not return void, but accomplishes exactly what you intend and what you purpose, and that you, God, can plant the word in our hearts and cause it to grow into an oak of righteousness for your name's sake, that we could become men and women of great faith. But we will never, ever become men and women of great faith if we do not read your word. And so, Father, I pray that you would convict our hearts so that we would resolve to read your word regularly and consistently, that your name would be honored and glorified, and that we would find great joy as we come to know you and delight in you more. We love you, our Lord and our God, and we ask all these things, Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen.